Today is Mother's Day, but I want to speak on the fact that children matter to God. And I want to begin by having you participate in a bit of a poll where the main question is it worth it? Is it worth mums and dads to sacrifice for your kids? Is it worth it to pray for your children over and over? Is it worth it to dedicate them to the Lord for his service? Is it worth it to change all those diapers and go through the joys of potty training? Is it worth it to pay over $180,000 to raise a child to adulthood? I read somewhere that that was an estimate of what it costs to raise a child these days. Is it worth it to lead, guide, and correct your child? Is it worth it to be a role model to your child? Is it worth it to read your Bible to your child? Is it worth it to say no to your child? Is it worth it to be a parent rather than a friend to your child? Is it worth it to take them to church to learn the value system of God? Is it worth it to protect them from the twisted influence of the media? Is it worth it to go through the emotional highs and lows of those teen years? Is it worth it to help them get back up when they make a mistake? Is it worth it to pay for their university and college? Is it worth it to help them fulfill their divine calling in life? Is it all worth it? And I doubt very much that there would be many, if any, who would say, no, it isn't worth it. 65 years ago, men and women, visionary men and women from the Manitoba Baptist churches in this area, realized the physical and spiritual value of being in a safe, inviting outdoor environment to play, to learn, and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed it was worth it to give of their blood, sweat, and tears in making Camp Nutamik what it is today. I humbly stand in the shadow of these men and women of the past who gave leadership to Camp Nutamik. These men and women back 65 years ago realized that children and youth are important. They're important to God and to the church, and they do matter. I want to tell you first that Camp Nutamik exists to impact children and youth in becoming committed followers of Jesus Christ. We are an extension of the local churches, and it is our goal to impact children and youth in becoming committed followers of Jesus Christ through biblical teaching and discipleship. We strive to influence Christian character through outdoor experiences, and we invest in the development of the next generation of leaders. Our goal is reaching kids, growing disciples, developing leaders. That's our calling. That's our purpose. You know, there are so many challenges that parents and grandparents and other interested adults face when it comes to raising children, and I doubt there are very many who don't want the best for children. We do everything we can to provide for them and ensure their well-being and success. We ensure that they're eating properly, that they're getting the education that they need, that they're participating in particular activities to help them become well-rounded individuals. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But sadly, many parents and other interested individuals in a child's life fail to emphasize the most important need in a child's life. And that is a touch from Jesus, a blessing from the Lord. Nothing else in life is more important than a personal, life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not something new. In fact, in the passage of Scripture that I'd like for us to focus on this morning, we see how the disciples viewed Jesus' ministry to children and how it differed from our Lord Jesus. So you have your Bibles. I trust you do as a good North American Baptist church. that you all have your Bibles or your phone apps. And would you turn with me to Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16? It's a familiar account, but let me read it for you once more, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth. Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. Lord God, as we focus on your word, open our eyes to the reality of your love, of your grace, of your mercy. We pray by the power of the Holy Spirit today that you would speak to our hearts, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, and that you would help us to grow deeper in love with you, in Jesus' name. Now, this is a very simple passage, but it reveals a profound truth that needs to be applied in our lives. It's the passage that motivates me in my ministry at Camp Nutamik. I'd like to unpack it a little bit this morning for you. One day, as Jesus was teaching some pretty heavy stuff, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch them and bless them. But the disciples didn't like what was happening. We have two very separate groups who have different attitudes regarding children in this verse. First, we have some parents who are bringing their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. Parents want the blessing of the Lord on their children, don't they? We want the Lord to bless our children. And it was no different in Jesus' time. As Jesus ministered among the people, he was approached by parents who brought their children to him. They wanted Jesus to touch their children. They were seeking his blessing. And it's apparent that these parents had recognized something in Jesus that caused them to recognize that he cared for them. But not only them, he cared for their children. Most biblical scholars would agree that the gathering would have included children of all kinds. And you know, I often imagine Jesus as he was walking and teaching and sharing with his disciples that there would be kids flocking around him. I've been to Africa and some other places in the world, and it's interesting, especially in Africa. Maybe it's because I'm white. But as you're walking along, and I mean, you've got kids coming up to you and touching you. You know, it's kind of cool. I think I have the greatest job in the world. I get to hang out with kids all summer long. And I think Jesus had that same influence or that same draw to kids. Often we tend to focus aspects of ministry that we deem important. Notice I said that we deem important, not what God necessarily deems important. I want to commend you as a congregation because it's obvious that you see ministry to children as very important. But the reality is that many, if not most, churches pay very little, if any, thought to children's ministry. The reality is many congregations or I would say even most congregations do not have ministry or they do not see ministry to children as all that important. And my question is, well, what about the children? As your denominational camp, We're blessed to have supporting churches within the MBA. But the reality is that we continually face the challenges of meeting our budget because we're running our camp ministry today on the same amount of money that we did 5 years ago. We have many young people who give of their summer each year to serve out at camp. And the reality, that's a sacrifice because we don't have the resources to pay our staff what they could pay in a secular workforce. And yes, we have a program whereby they can supplement their salary through share a wage. I've had some great staff. This year we had 17 staff members, all returning staff, that applied for 10 leadership positions. And these were all top-notch staff. And unfortunately, seven of those individuals, we've got them coming back, but not as leadership staff. But I've had a number of my leaders say, Wayne, we'd love to come back next year, but we need to get jobs that pay more. I have one young lady who, just a sweet, bright leader, and her mom and dad have said to her, this is your last year at camp. We need you to get a real job. A real job? When I think of our kids that work at camp, there is no other job where they get the kind of experience, life experience, than what they do at camp. I mean, yeah, you might get more money at McDonald's, but you're not going to learn how to interact with one another in community. You're not going to learn how to take care of children. You're not going to learn what it means to be a part of a community. And I am so grateful for my staff. We have many sacrificial givers who serve God through their generosity, but the reality is that our 2019 budget is basically the same level as our 2014 budget. That's despite the fact that major expenses of the camp have not remained at 2014 levels. Groceries, maintenance, hydro, and the like have increased. Additionally, we faced increasing regulations resulting in additional costs. For example, our insurance costs last year were over $32,000. We ran a significant deficit last year to a number of reasons, but we have budgeted for a balanced budget, which includes several grants that we've applied for. And it's uncomfortable for me to stand here, basically for the first time ever, to talk about finances. But the reality is that Christian camping needs resources. And whether you support Camp Nunamik or some other Christian camp, such as one of the One Hope Canada camps, the reality is that serving others requires to give of our time, our energy, and even our finances. Personally, I think it's atrocious that we have to charge in excess of $300 to have kids come to camp. But even at that, we are subsidizing every child that comes to camp to the tune of about $250 to $300. And so the board of the foundation and camp board have asked me to encourage our constituency to consider what has been labeled as the 250 challenge, not as a designated offering, but as a means of supporting the operating budget of the camp. And if you're interested in being part of that 250 challenge, there are envelopes at the back table. And they're right beside the camp cookies, which I trust you will indulge in. We have the disciples who had a very different attitude toward children than their parents. And they began to scold the parents for bothering Jesus. In the context of that passage in Mark, Jesus had just been talking about a very heavy subject on divorce. and the disciples were in this conversation, and here come these kids, and they started rebuking the parents. They rebuked them for bringing their children to Christ. But statistics tell us the vast majority of believers are reached for Christ in their childhood years. As we instill the Word of God in them at an early age, we're preparing them to respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let me share with you a story of a young person who came to one of our leadership camps this past summer. This young man hadn't been at camp for a number of years, and I received a letter, an email from his mom after he finished his second week of a leadership camp. This is what she wrote. "I'd just like to thank you and your amazing staff for the great week that my son had at camp. When I picked him up last night, he asked me right away if he was able to go back for high school week, which I said yes to. On the drive home, we talked about so many aspects of the week. He couldn't pick his favorite thing because he just kept saying it was all his favorite. Every part of the week was great, he said. From devotion sessions, testimony times, fireside, fun activities, canoe trips, the project servanthood, and I know I'm missing stuff. He said there to me that there was not a single moment in the whole week where he didn't want to do what they were doing. At one point, he commented that he forgot how much he missed not being part of camp the last couple of years. Also, he said what he appreciated the most was the fact that Camp Dudamick preaches exactly what the Bible says, not watering things down, but preaching God's word without shame. That opportunity to speak with this mom several weeks ago, and this young man is involved in a Bible study, a young men's Bible study at his church, and he is coming back for another week. And she has indicated how he has been diligent in sharing his faith with his peers. Something happened this past summer to one of our kids who was coming, had been coming for a lot of years. He was coming because of the fun. Anyway, this young man had an encounter at one of our worship, at our worship night this past year. He comes from a non-faith background, but after camp, he started attending one of our NAB churches. Started meeting with the youth pastor on a one-on-one basis, has become part of a Bible study at that church. His younger brother has subsequently started coming to youth. And as of Christmas, his parents started coming to church as well. See, God changes lives at camp. Last summer, just before Junior Mini, which is our little camp for those who are going to be 7 to 9. Anyway, I got a call from a mom who lives in the area of camp, and she said, you know, I have a 6.5-year-old who would like to come to camp, but he doesn't do so well sleeping overnight. Would it be possible for him to come to Junior Mini? Now, we didn't offer a day camp option for Junior Mini. And so I talked to our program director, and as we chatted, we determined, yeah, we could do that. So this little fella came every morning before breakfast. His mom would or dad would drop him off. He would come to devotion time, and have breakfast, and then stay right through until it was time for the other kids to go to bed, and his mom and dad would come and pick him up. And he had a great time at camp. That was August. Flash forward to January. I get an email from this mom saying, my son would like to come back to camp. Are you offering day camp for Junior Minis this year? And I was pleased to email her right back and said, yes, we have decided to do that. And his was one of the first registrations in. Now, I need you to know this family has no faith base. They are a non-faith-based They have no faith in God or anything of that nature. And you need to follow me on this. I met Promise Keepers, and a friend of mine who is the director of Camp Manitou, which is a secular camp, but Rick is a believer. He's a follower of Christ. Rick and I got to chatting, and he introduced me to his brother. Okay? Rick, brother. Rory says to me, "Oh, you're from Camp Nudimick. Do you know so-and-so?" I said, "Yes, I know." And he mentions this little guy's name. He said, "I want you to know what's happening in that family. I work with his dad. His dad and I have had some conversations about faith things." And he said, "The other day, the dad's talking to me, and he said, 'I don't know what's going on, but my kid, this little guy, is asking me all sorts of faith questions. And the other day he asked me, why is the Bible different than any other book?'" And so Rory said, he asked the dad, he said, "Well, what did you say?" He said, "Well, I had to think for a moment, and I said, I guess it's because the Bible is inspired." So God changes lives at camp, and not just the little people that come. He's changing their families too. And so we need to be careful that we don't hinder children from coming to know Jesus. This passage reveals that Jesus was grieved by this hindrance, this action by the disciples, that he was vexed by their trying to subvert the will of God. And I want you to notice what Mark says. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them." Now, there are very few times in Scripture when we're told that Jesus became angry. The most notable time is when he confronted the money changers in the temple. But this passage reveals that Jesus was grieved by the actions of the disciples in hindering the children. "Let the children come to me, don't stop them." And that ought to be instructive to us, because it reveals an aspect of our Lord's character that we need to recognize. In another passage, Jesus calls a child to explain God's view of the kingdom of God, and we read there, Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them, and then he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child in this, like this, on my behalf, is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea." Camp Nudimick clearly identifies as being a children's camp where the Christian faith is taught and practiced without limits as to who can come. We love having kids and youth from all kinds of backgrounds join us each week. In fact, 40% of our children come from no faith background at all. And God is using our service, our ministry, to change lives. You know, I have a deep love for children, but my love for them bears no comparison to the love that Jesus has for them. I love how this incident concludes with this. Then he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on their heads, and blessed them. Can you imagine Jesus taking these little ones, and not so little ones, and blessing them? I used to be the field director for One Hope Canada, and one of the camps that I was in that I oversaw was Turtle Mountain Bible camp. And I love Turtle Mountain. They have a great ministry. And one of the ministries is their oldest camp. It's called Joy Camp. And Joy Camp is for those that are over 60. And it's called Joy Camp because Joy stands for just older youth. Don't you love that? I love that. You know, the reality, though, I don't care if you're a toddler or a baby or a toddler or you're an old guy like me. We all need the touch of Jesus, don't we? Jesus in his actions is telling them, and by extension, every one of us, that we are worthwhile, that we are valuable. I want to close with just telling you a little bit about what I've learned from kids the past few years as I've served at camp. First thing, no matter how much you tell them, kids just can't be quiet. They can't. It's impossible. Even though they may be young and may not understand a lot, they have so much love for God. Kids love to have fun. They're very blunt, and they'll make sure that you know exactly what they think. They crave attention, and they want to please you. Children want to love and be loved. Children have taught me I need to be more teachable. I read somewhere that a child learns more in the first 6 years of their life than they ever, that learns more new things in the first 6 years of their life than they will ever thereafter. You think about that. Your child learns how to crawl, how to walk, how to talk. They learn their ABCs. They learn how to fight with brothers and sisters. You know, all that stuff. And the rest of our adult lives were basically building on what was established in those formative years. Kids have taught me that they want to know the truth and they can handle the truth. Kids don't want to be snowed. And I've learned that children's hearts are tender toward the Lord. I want to thank you for the opportunity to share a bit of my heart about children and ministry through them through Camp Nunamik. Several weeks ago, I emailed all of our MBA pastors asking them to consider participating in adopting Camp Nunamik for a week of prayer this summer. I'll be following up with Pastor Tony to see whether or not Waverly Church would be part of that. I want to thank you for this opportunity. I invite you to stop by and say hello, introduce yourself, and have a cookie.